Shut up and sit down.
Hello and welcome to episode 43 of Geek Grills, a podcast in which geeky women and sometimes guests gather to record topical conversation and then offer it to the masses. The Geek Grills is totally supported by our patrons. We really appreciate if you could help us out at patreon.com/geekgrills. I'm September, also known as 9 of 12, and I'm here with my co-host, The Jen.
Hello!
So, what have you been up to this geeky week?
Oh my gosh. So it's been uber geeky week because I have been doing D&D or making characters and playing characters and D&D focused, learning how stuff works in D&D. So I've been rereading parts of the player handbook so I can actually understand what I put on my sheets. And then I've been painting my models for War Machine. So I have been just doing that every day, like a couple hours a day, and it's been really relaxing to come home and I get my stuff done, and then I just put something on the TV, and then I have it set up in my, I have a dining room table in my living room, and I've got it set up there, and I've just been painting my models slowly but surely. They're coming together, and it's just very meditative. It's got like this relaxing property of painting, and I got into acrylic painting about a year ago, and I enjoyed that. But the nice thing is about this is the reason I haven't been doing the acrylic painting, like on canvas, is because I'm like, I don't know what I want to paint. This way, it's like directed. It's almost like paint by number, you know. So it just makes it like, oh, it's creative, but yet you have kind of a structure to start with. So. Painting models, and I'm excited because pretty soon I'll be able to take my minis and actually go play with them, which will be cool. I've also been watching the RuPaul's Drag Race this season, so that made me go back and rewatch one of my favorite seasons, which was season 6, so I enjoyed that. And then just for something light to watch, I've been rewatching Avatar: The Last Airbender for some reason. Like, I don't really know why. I was just like, I kind of feel like it. And it's just a nice, lighthearted thing to rewatch. And then, of course, just diving into Hearthstone. The new expansion is out. It's in full force. I have been playing Warrior, which I've never really played Warrior before. And I'm actually having quite a bit of fun with it. So, yep, just Hearthstone, and that's that. So it has definitely been a geeky week for me. I've been geeking out on all the things.
Lots of geek. Yeah, I saw a picture of one of your models. I'm intimidated by all the teeny tiny details. Like, my manual dexterity is not good.
I'm not the best painter, but I just enjoy it. But yeah, you gotta have tiny little brushes.
Oh, yeah, I think that would stress me out. I actually looked, we were in a hobby store a couple of days ago, and I was like, I wonder if they have the Warhammer figures, and I thought about, you know, getting you one. I saw a picture of one you were doing, and I'm like, that woman has a bitch face. I don't know what that figure was, but she looked so mean.
Well, I'm also going to be painting a model. Going to be ordering a model to paint, a mini to paint for my bard character, because when you play D&D, some people don't know this, but when you play on a tabletop game in person, you have a model to represent your character so that when you guys can move around the map and figure out how things are happening. And everybody has these cute little, like, minis for their characters, and I'm using this cardboard stand-up of a quote-unquote bard. So I'm going to be ordering a mini, and then I'm going to paint it so I have a little bard figure.
Oh, okay, so the game you're playing at the shop uses hex maps and figures and all that.
It's super fancy. Like, they have, like, they're, like, all about it, man. And then, like, the man friend, like, he's into D&D, and he used to run a table. So he has the cards that have all the spells on it, and then they've got, like, template things, and then they've got rings with so many inches, so they're like, oh, this spell does this, so you can tell how many hexes away that is, and then, like, they get the dry erase board, they get the dry erase markers out, you know, so they can, like, put down an area where a spell was cast, so I'm like, oh, I cast Stinking Cloud, and now, like, that whole thing is engulfed, so they put the template on top so you know which of the bad guys are impacted by that, and then they have, a turn, like a, with vis-a-vis markers, with the turns for everybody for initiative, so we can keep an order of the turns, so that he can go, okay, it's so-and-so's turn, so-and-so's next, which is nice, though, because in combat, it's good to know who's next, so it's not delaying everything, but yeah, they have all the fancy tools. It's crazy.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty wild. All the tabletop playing I've ever done has been very roleplay heavy and not all that.
See, me too. So I'm always like, whoa, what is all this? Oh, I have to say, before I let you get into what you've been up to, I sat down with my dice bag and started pulling my dice out. And, like, two or three of the people at the table were like, oh, wow, what a nice dice bag. Where'd you get that? Oh, my gosh. So I was showing off my dice bag swag.
It's made by a glamorous dice bag that I made.
Yes, it was. It's very glamorous and made by yours truly. By you. So that was very exciting. So I had my little dice bag to show off.
Yay. Geek swag. So, what have I been up to? Let me see. Been playing a lot of Pokemon. There's a new holiday event. It goes until the 30th, so there's extra XP and half-price eggs and a whole bunch of cool Pokemon that are hard to find are hatching from 2K eggs. So, lots of egg things. My husband and I actually went downtown and walked around all downtown for a couple hours and hit all the stops and hatched eggs, and that was really awesome. It was a beautiful day. We finally got some really nice weather, so yay, back into the game, and hopefully you can avoid some of the drama. I've been there's Pokemon group Facebook groups and for different teams and for the game as a whole around here, and there is some just drama going on. I don't know what the hell their problem is with Team Valor, but they're all a bunch of cheaters, and and then the Mystic people on my team are all drama bombing, like, taking video of, you know, sitting in your car near a gym, and you're the only two people around, and you're like, and I understand the frustration, you're trying to take a gym down, and you're using up all your, you know, revives, and your Pokemon to do, you know, this hard work, and then somebody from Valor pulls up and has 7 or 8 different accounts in their phone, so they take back the gym from you and just pile a bunch of Pokemon in it from everyone, all their buddies, and it's cheating. It's against terms of service. Niantic doesn't seem to be doing anything about it.
Oh my god.
And, yeah, and their people, their response to people trying to, like, out them is, oh, quit whining and just try to take it back instead of coming here. Well, shut up. You're cheating. It's an unfair advantage. It's frustrating for other people. It's making the game not as fun. Like, they're justifying that behavior, really? So, yeah, anyway.
It's an extraordinary amount of drama for a fun game.
Right? I see a bunch of people just going, it's a game. Back off. Get over it. But, yeah. I mean, it can be annoying, because, like, it's a lot, it's just more fun when you actually can, you know, gyms go up and down with different colors, and it's competitive, and it's fun. So I don't even understand the motivation to wreck it like that. Like, how is that fun?
Definitely. Keep it fun, stop making it not fun. That's cool. I agree.
Yeah. Like, I have no desire to go in there and just cheat harder, and be dominant. Whatever. That's not fun. What else? Let's see. Still playing some Breath of the Wild, which is, it's good. Today I'm going to go hit my first big giant mechanical animal god thing, I think. If I get time. I do have to make dinner. The first Doctor Who. Enjoyed that last night. New companion. So it's like cute, awkward, either lesbian or bi, apparently black woman, just she's awesome. And her name is Bill. So we liked her very much. I do have a little weird concern. I'm like, is, I don't know, is Moffat like trying to distract from the fact that he's been busted being, you know, sexist about things? I don't know. It just seems like a lot of diversity all shoved into one character all of a sudden. What else? Oh, new MST3K, finally started watching that with Jodi Ray as the new host. I enjoy it very much. Holy crap, everyone is in it. Felicia Day is in it. She's the new, like, Forrester person. And Patton Oswalt is in it. Have you seen any of it?
No, but it's on my list because I am a huge Patton Oswalt fan. Which we'll learn more about in our discussion today, because he was kind of responsible for our topic today. But I love his voiceover work, and I just enjoy him, and I love Felicia Day, and I love him, and I love all the people, so I am sure it'll be right up my alley. So I'll definitely be checking it out.
Yeah, I've been waiting for it for a while, listening to, you know, Jonah talk about it on Nerdist, and having seen the Kickstarter start a while ago or whatever it was to try and get this happening. That's been going on for years, to bring that show back. And I'm so proud when I wake up in the morning and come downstairs, and my 13-year-old already has it queued up. Like, he's been binging Futurama like crazy, and now, like, he started on MST3K all on his own, like, without us even mentioning it, like, totally doing something right. I found a new anime while I was browsing around Netflix. It's a Netflix original. They're really kicking ass with these, in my opinion. I am enjoying it very much. It's called Magi Tales of Sinbad, I think, but, you know, it's, like, produced in Japan and everything.
Yeah, I've heard good things about that.
I'm really liking it. I mean, it's pretty and it's fun, and it's, I can totally see it being like a game, because it's actually like he's going and defeating dungeons, which is an interesting storyline. And Attack on Titan season 2 is out now, and we started watching that last night. So yeah, kind of a lot of TV in my nerdy week.
That's okay. Sometimes you gotta do that.
Sometimes, must chill. So I guess with that, it is time for the Geek Grapevine. What you got on the Switch, Jen?
Yeah, so I don't own a Switch yet, but I want to eventually. But I just wanted to kind of talk about some of the... I know with the Switch coming out, a lot of people were wondering what was going to come as far as games. So I wanted to... This was a good article because it just has a nice summation of some of the games when they're coming out, which is great. So Nintendo revealed that... ARMS is coming out, and that's going to be a fighting game where you equip two customizable arms per fighter, and then you, I guess, fight each other. I don't know, it seems kind of weird. But anyway, that's coming out. That's where you get the ramen armed man and all that crap, like we saw from the promo videos for the Switch. But Splatoon 2 Salmon Run is coming out. It's going to have a new four-player co-op mode. That game is awesome. If you haven't played Splatoon Original, it's really good. It's really fun. It's really fun to watch, too. I actually watch people play it on Twitch sometimes, too. But anyway, that's going to come out. Splatoon 2 is going to launch exclusively for Switch in July. So that should be cool. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Also, can we believe we're on Mario Kart 8? I feel old. anyway, that comes out in a couple weeks, on April 28th. So that's going to launch, and there's going to be, of course, more characters, carts, tracks, than any other game in Mario Kart history. Oh my god. So that should be cool. Then there's going to be the Ultra Street Fighter 2, the final challengers. And there you can get all the Hudokens you want and all that stuff. So that'll be cool. That comes out in May. And then Minecraft Nintendo Switch Edition will launch in the eShop on May 11th, and then it'll be in stores on a later date, but they didn't say when that later date is. But it includes Super Mario Mashup Pack, along with some new multiplayer play and control options, so that should be cool. And that's just a few of what's been added, but there's going to be some other things coming to the 3DS, some new amiibos, all the kinds of other stuff, but those games are coming for Switch, so that's awesome for those that own it. I do not, but I want one, maybe. I don't know. I have too many games.
Yeah, my son got to play it at a birthday party the other day, and he said he really liked it, and he was telling me that all these new games are coming out. He's excited. Hey, I mentioned Minecraft. Did you see the Harry Potter world thing?
Oh my gosh, I saw all kinds of... Yeah, I love... I've been Minecrafting a lot lately, too. I didn't really mention it, because it's kind of like... I'm still breaking blocks and building stuff.
Well, there's this group, I think they're called the Flu Group, or the Flu Powder. Shoot, I remember seeing a story, I posted it on my Facebook about it, but they made the whole Harry Potter world, and it is fucking amazing. I mean, like, the inside of Gringotts and... everywhere.
The one I liked was the one that was done where they did the gate, and this is well before the Warcraft movie came out. It was just based on the gate in the game, the Dark Portal gate. Somebody built one in Minecraft, and it was ridiculous. It's amazing. But yeah, the stuff that people build in Minecraft is incredible to me. It's just insane and impressive.
Yeah. I couldn't do it. I don't have the patience. At least that's my excuse.
Yeah, me neither.
Who knows? Maybe one day I'll dive in and then just get obsessed with the game. Maybe that's what I'm really afraid of. So what's next?
It's a crazy time sink. Seriously, though. So it's like, play Minecraft with caution.
Yeah, right? I don't even
I get fixated on projects, and then I'm like 3 hours later, I'm like, oh shit, I gotta do stuff. So I put an article in here just because I was like, seriously, about a police impersonator. So he's a fake police officer. He's impersonating a police officer. This is, of course, in Florida. Who pulls over a Miami-Dade police detective. So basically, this guy pulls over a guy pretending to be a police officer, but then the guy he pulls over turns out to be a cop. So yeah. Dumb. I just was like, really? And like, what's the gag? Why do you pretend to be a police officer? Like, what's the point? I don't get it. I don't know. So it's like he pulled up behind him, right, and activated police sirens, which caused the detective to change lanes. Police said the suspect continued to follow the detective, so the detective pulled over to the shoulder of the road, and the detective, who was in full uniform, got out of his vehicle and realized that he was dealing with the police impersonator. And I'm like, okay, but like, why? And of course, he arrested the guy. But yeah, he had a gun replica and a blue police light and like all this like replica police junk. And then I guess when he was interviewed, he said he confessed to pulling over other drivers.
Wow.
So that's... I just like, why? Why?
I don't know.
And also,
I mean,
you're
is
dumb.
He actually just disturbed?
I don't know. But there were, like, other stories about fake police officers. And, like, there was even an article that was like, how to know when you've been pulled over by a fake police officer. And I'm like, is this really a problem? Like, are people running around pretending to be police and pull people over? I don't know.
Wake up in the morning and go, oh, what the hell? I'll just do this today. Like, there's got to be better hobbies.
It's the weirdest thing. Anyway, yeah, so there's that.
So I thought this was a really cool story this week. There was the an indie space network launched the first protest in space, targeting Trump. It was a really cool quote from Apollo 14 astronaut Edgar Mitchell. He was the sixth person to walk on the moon. And he had said, from out there on the moon, international politics looks so petty. You want to grab a politician by the scruff of the neck and drag him a quarter of a million miles out and say, look at that, you son of a bitch. So somebody took this quote, the folks at the Autonomous Space Agency Network. Yes, that is NASA backwards. They promote a lot of DIY space missions and that kind of thing. And they printed out a giant tweet from their Twitter account tagging Trump with his @RealDonaldTrump and said, look at that, you son of a bitch. All in caps, look just like a Trump tweet. And hitched the sign to a weather balloon, set it up 90,000 feet. So it's not space proper, but it is in the near space sphere. And, I mean, the 45 has been slashing NASA's science program and talking about climate, you know, giving climate change deniers credence and all of that. So these people took it upon themselves to have the first protest in space. And I was amused.
Yeah, that is amusing. Okay, so side note, I didn't put a link in here, but I have to just like have like a little mini rant for a second. Obviously not great with Trump, obviously. Obviously I think Melania Trump is a not as I mean, she's no Michelle Obama, okay? Like, or even Laura Bush, for that matter. Because I even liked Laura Bush because she was all about books and pushing reading programs and libraries, and I actually liked her. You know, politics or not, these first ladies, like, good Lord. I was on Facebook this morning, and there was a link to, like, Melania Trump went to this place to do this thing, to talk to kids that, you know, something. It was like an orphanage type situation. I don't even know if they call them those anymore. Anyway, and everybody in this article is like, oh, and she was wearing $1,100 pumps. Okay, and then everybody's like, yeah, why don't you just donate the shoes? Okay, like her or hate her, every first lady, including Michelle Obama, wears expensive clothes. I mean, really. That's not like, you know, we don't tell them to take their shoes off. I just was one of those things where I was like, really? Like, the fact that there are shoes that are $1,100, like, that should be your issue. You know, and it's yeah. Like, they're out there. I mean, frickin' A, like, Sex and the City, Carrie Bradshaw and her, like, $700, $1,500 shoes. That's not, like, whatever. Like, I feel like you pick your battles, man. Like, that is such a weird battle to pick. I mean, really.
It is. I mean, and it's just, I don't know, it's just demeaning.
It's just like,
pick out that kind of thing, like, to begin with.
Exactly.
Although, like, you gotta give Michelle some props for, she did things, like, right from day one, like, picking completely unknown designers instead of just advertising for big names and stuff.
Sure, but, like, Laura Bush never even went with big designers either and was doing, like, the same thing. Sure, I agree. But at the same time, like, Melania Trump, wasn't she, I can't even remember her background, wasn't she a model? I mean, for Christ's sake, come on. Like, she's in the New York fashion scene, and you're going to be like, oh, how dare you wear the shoes that you've always been wearing? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I just feel like it's, like, such a weird battle to pick, and I just feel like when we pick these little stupid fucking battles, we miss out on, like, the real big fights, like, the ones that should really matter, and it really minimizes those important conversations and those important issues that we need to stand up for, not what fucking shoes she wore to a place to talk to kids who are underprivileged. Anyway, I'm done with my rant now.
No, cool. I mean, I get it. It's kind of missing the point. And fits in kind of probably where my point of view is going to go on our topic today.
Yeah.
So our main topic today, we're going to be discussing use of language, how it refers to, I guess, women, LGBT community, who knows where the conversation will go, but the importance of the words we use in our society. So,
yeah.
What else do we want to pick? Tell me about this Patton Oswalt bit. I was going to watch it, and then so we were running over when we were supposed to start recording.
Yeah, no worries. So that's what kind of keyed me into this, is Patton Oswalt was, in one of his recent stand-ups, which I've watched a couple times because I think it's really funny, there's a part where he's just like, you know, the words are fucking complicated. Like, he was talking about how he is such a, like, an ally to the LGBT community, and he's, like, all about that, but that, like, fuck, the words keep changing, and then he uses the wrong words, and then people flip out at him, and he's like, what the fuck, you know, like, I'm one of the good guys, like, he's like, I think he even says something like, yeah, I get it, I'm a fucking cis white motherfucker, or cis, you know, cis white man motherfucker, or something like that, and basically, like, but the words change so quick, so how the fuck do I keep up with it? And then he says, like, you know, he mentions in there, like, he gives an example of two different guys, and he says, like, look, there's two different guys here, and I, he's like, you can figure out which one is the good guy and the bad guy, and he's like, the first one was a guy who uses all the right terms to talk about why heteronormative is the thing that requires the most priority in society, and then the second guy is kind of like, yeah, if you know, if a he wants to be a she and get rid of her whatever, then I don't know. They'll tell me what the right name is, but you got to live with that person, you know. And then, you know, and that's the thing is, like, he says, like, look, like, we get so hard on these people for using the wrong words, but are we really just, you know, it's kind of a commentary on what we do and how specific we are about the words and getting caught up in the semantics of things, when I think sometimes there is the intention is there and maybe the words aren't perfect. So, like, in the other example he uses in the same stand-up is RuPaul getting in trouble for using the word tranny, and he's like, for Christ's sake, RuPaul gets in trouble for using the word tranny. Like, RuPaul laid down, like, in the 90s, so that these chicks could, like, walk across her back, and yet now they're giving him shit for, you know, for using the word tranny, you know, and I get it. And I think that's kind of what spawned this thought in my mind of, like, okay, is it, like, should we be sitting here, like, giving everybody such a hard time about the specific words?
It's funny because I thought the Mia Bialik video was going to be the thing. It was the thing that triggered it, and instead it was this. But I mean, this LGBT issue is something that I very recently, well, for a long time, because I work, you know, in politics, and it's like the only thing I still have is I'm Secretary of the LGBT Democrats in North Carolina, and we had to put out a statement this week, and we had to. I had to edit all the wording and be the grammar person and try and have inclusivity. And I asked them to make sure before we published a statement from the board, reach out to all our county organizations. So we have all the voices that are relevant, because I know sometimes they felt excluded in the past. And we specifically have one of those presidents who's trans, and she has a couple members of her caucus that are apparently, I don't even know. She asked us to include all these extra acronyms that I don't even know what they all are. So that was different. Cause I thought I had a grip on all of them right now. It was like ASSI, like there were extra things, and we were having had this discussion about, but The organization is already named officially LGBT, you know, it's inclusive, is we can't put out a statement and add all those things without changing the name, which requires going to the state executive committee and all this, you know, and having new bylaws approved and the whole shebang. Like, we just need to get the statement out this week because it's relevant to the fucking legislation going on that we want to speak against. And it's always changing and growing. And I think it might have been Kit Nouveau when we had her on, brought up saga as a term. And I love that term. I wrote to Winnie Mae, and I've talked to my friend Janice. Like, I'm kind of hitting up my trans friends for their point of view of how they feel about it, because there's kind of nationwide political activism circles, people trying to help the cause for us.
Yeah, give us something more universal. I agree. I like saga too, because it is more of it's sexuality and gender acceptance, right?
Yes.
It's more general. It's like, look, like, let's just accept all of them. You don't have to just keep adding freaking letters. Because, like, honestly, it got to a point where even I used to be a triangle speaker, and it's like LGBTQI, what the fuck, like, what? And I feel like I'm, like, out on that limb, too. And
there's a lot with the order that they're in. There's a reason that, you know, it got changed from common use of GBLT to LGBT, and then, like, I know locally, there's a bunch of transgender folks trying to have their own caucus within the party because they don't feel represented because no trans folks have been elected to the board yet in the couple years it's existed. And that kind of thing is going on around the country. I've seen in other groups too, where trans folks are feeling, you know, like it's just a bunch of gay white men running everything. So there's this extra level of separation happening. Instead of people being inclusive, it's more splintering off. And it's like, holy crap, we have to widen this umbrella. Every time we add a letter, I'm starting to feel like it's a splinter. You know, my friend, one of the other board members is like, well, what are we going to do? Are we going to have a lesbian caucus and a gay caucus and a bi caucus? I said, we don't need a bi caucus. We're used to being invisible.
Right? Seriously, though. I mean, for real. And it's like, and then because I married a man, of course I'm divorcing now, but because I married a man, like, I'm not allowed to be part of the gay community anymore because I'm not gay enough. Like, that pisses me off. But anyway, that's a whole side conversation.
Well, yeah, and I've had, you know, you get that stuff. Oh, you're just greedy, or oh, you're not.
Oh, yeah, you just want the best of both worlds. You want to have your cake and eat it too.
I've had to coach people, you know, on political campaigns and stuff. We had a person who was helping with fundraising in one of the campaigns I worked on, who is sweet and wonderful and loving and accepting of everyone, but she just casually used the word tranny when she meant transgender, and she's like a straight white woman. And I was like, whoa, 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 did you just say tranny? She's like, yeah. I mean, transsexual, isn't that what it... I'm like, all right, no. You can't use that word. But they use that word, like, okay, well, some people can use that word. You can't use that word. Here's the differentiation. But then there's the here's how it changed. And that's something I can see RuPaul probably falling into. Because I know, I mean, my friend Janice is like, oh, my mom's age, right? She's an older woman. And she's been through it from the... forever and ever ago in San Francisco, through living in the South.
And it's dangerous
coming
for
out. And the terms changing. I mean, even the talking about drag queens and how that term gets used and how...
Right. And transvestite and transsexual and transgender, and people don't know what the difference is between those things. Absolutely.
So and let me kind of... always slurs either. There was an inclusivity of it and a community around it. So...
Right.
Yeah.
So here's kind of where Just to kind of, so there have been a couple times that RuPaul has been kind of nailed for using transphobic slurs, or, you know, not even outside of that, but like other, you know, the thing is that I obviously am a huge fan of RuPaul. RuPaul Charles, he is an incredible person, and I have watched some interviews of him, and I listened to his podcast, and I've watched that show. And the thing I appreciate about him is I feel like that man is like a 500-year-old sage in a whatever age he is body, you know? He just has this wisdom about human experience that I am very impressed by. He gets the big picture that, you know, you have to have an element of humor. You have to be able to laugh at yourself and laugh at life and know that that's part of your experience. And I think that there's a lot of that, that maybe some of these people that get offended by things that he does don't get that humor, right? And so, for example, one of the ones was in 2014 where they did a mini challenge on the show, and it was called Female or She-Male. And the contestants were asked to identify whether a photo showed a cisgender, non-trans woman or a former Drag Race contestant. And it was just a cropped portion of the photo. So granted, this one, you know, this one crossed a line for people. People got really upset about it. And then, you know,
it's hard to think that he just overlooked that somehow, though. I mean, that's not like a changing term. She-Male's only used in porn.
Not necessarily true, but it's also something that's been around for a long time. And in the gender fuck time of the 80s, you know, that was a thing too. And it's not just in porn, but, sure. Like, so that's one, like, that is there. But then the one that really got, and so that one, you know, RuPaul pulled the segment. They were like, okay, fine. You know, yep, totally. Like, this one probably crossed the line, sure. But, like, she'd been using the term she-male, like, in the beginning when there's, like, a message from RuPaul in drag about whatever their next contest is going to be. It'll go, oh, you've got she-male. And that's been what it's been for however many seasons of the Drag Race show, and they got upset with that particular mini-challenge. And I was like, okay, that particular mini-challenge, it was supposed to be like, are these drag queens able to impersonate women so well that you can look at just a piece of it and think it's an actual woman, or is it an actual woman, or, you know, whatever. So, sure. That activity, probably not great. I get it. And I could see why that could be offensive from the whole standpoint of the positioning of the challenge, sure. But the one that really gets me is when RuPaul uses the word tranny. And so this was one where people got really mad at him because he used the word tranny on a podcast, right?
I mean, was it a slip, or is this a regular way he uses it?
It's a way he uses it because he's been called a tranny for years. And so his argument was, and he even, like, responded on Twitter about this and said, like, look, like, I've been a tranny for 32 years. The word tranny has never just meant transsexual. And then he put hashtag transvestite herstory lesson. and, you know, it's not the word itself, but the intention behind the word. He said, this is absurdity. It's as if Jay-Z got offended by Kanye using the word N word that I'm not going to say. but, you know, people...
Well, if he's referring to himself, fine.
Exactly, and that's exactly it. And he's like, drag laughs in the face of this bullshit world, and put like a link of like that, and just people just not understanding that, like, this is And then he put in a comment, like, you know, people were, like, responding, and he was like, why would you want to hang or be around anybody who takes themselves so fucking seriously? He's like, you know, I call myself an N-word, faggot, tranny, all I want to, because I fucking earned the right to do it. I've lived the life. I've been on the front line, and if I call my girlfriend bitch, she knows I'm talking about it from a place of love. She knows that, but people out of school can take the same information and try to use it against me because the ego cannot pick up the intention behind it. And I think that quote really kind of just makes it clear kind of where he's coming from, where it's like, this is fucking RuPaul Charles, who had a fucking talk show where he could be in drag, you know? Some of these kids that are out there, like, they have I'm going to sound like an old, like, crotchety old fucking, like, lady right now, but, like, some of these young kids are able to do drag at clubs because he was out there being the supermodel of the world in the 90s, you know what I mean? And, like, if he wants to call himself a tranny, which did actually refer to transvestites, then what the fuck? Like, calm the fuck down. Like, that's... anyway.
Yeah. I mean, as long as he's referring to himself. I mean, I could see if he's going around calling, you know, like, oh, that tranny bitch at someone else, then there's an intention there that, I mean, you can't just keep doing that and saying, oh, it just means something different to me. I mean, that would be really egotistical and a different thing entirely.
Right, absolutely. But it's just like, if somebody is like, man, she is such a bitch, you know what it means, but then I'll be like, bitch, did you really just say that to my friend? And I like that he uses that example, because it's totally true. Somebody, the man
friend... I think
friend,
of Lafayette from True
Blood. Yes! Like, yes! Hookah! Yeah, exactly. Like, calling everybody hookah. Like, you know, but like, that's... You know, again, it's the intention there, and it's the ability to step back and say, okay, am I freaking the fuck out about a battle that doesn't need to be picked? But, like, you know, there were these girls that came out as transgender on the show that came back and were like, oh, RuPaul should know better, blah, 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 blah. You know, he's spreading hate speech, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay. Is he, though? Is he spreading hate speech? I don't think so. I think that he has a platform that allows for some of this stuff to be more mainstream than it's ever been before, first of all. Second of all, yes, that one, I do agree, that one mini challenge, probably inappropriate. It got pulled. Sometimes, you know, you think something's okay, and then you realize it crosses a line, and you say, okay, you know what? This one crossed the line, sure. But, like, move the fuck on, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And we're not all perfect. I just, but yes. So this Patton Oswalt video or clip just really spoke to me. So on kind of the heels of this conversation about, or on the heels of me seeing this clip or this stand up with Patton Oswalt and kind of like just thinking about all that, I happened to see on Facebook this video. I can never pronounce her name. You can pronounce her name.
I think Maya Bialik.
Yes. Yes.
Blossom.
So,
let's just call her Blossom. She loves that.
Right? And I do respect her a lot. And I like some of her other videos. Like, in particular, the video she talked about being both religious and a scientist and how she can be spiritual and scientific, and I really respect that. So she had this video about the word girl. And I was like, is it diminutive? Because I think I use it all the frickin' time.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely use it. I really think... I feel like... I disagree with her premise. It seems like picking a fight that's counterproductive. She acknowledges in the video that, you know, okay, the intention of these people using it is probably not to be harmful to women and diminish them, but that's what it's doing because of how words work and language works and blah, blah, blah. And I respect that. Words have power. I do think language can be important. But there's a point where you're picking a fight as if it's actually doing this damage. The intention of the word is to do damage, and it's really, really not anymore. It doesn't etymologically hold up to say, well, you should only use woman when woman, like, literally comes from the word man, just differentiating that you're the wife of or a servant of a man. Like, actually, so no, girl just means young. She keeps saying, like, you'd never call a boy a boy. Yeah, you would. You talk about your boyfriend or the boys. Right? Like, as when you're talking about your friends, these are my boys.
You take umbrage with that one because the word boyfriend does make me uncomfortable. That's why I think everybody's heard me use the phrase man friend, because I feel really weird calling an adult in his 30s my boyfriend. It just fucking feels
see,
weird.
See, and I use boyfriend all the time. Like, our friend Brett downtown, they hear, oh, look, and my husband will be like, oh, go see your boyfriend, or somebody I just admire on TV who's hot. Oh, your boyfriend, or, you know, if I had a boyfriend. I don't have a boyfriend right now.
I call the man friend's guy crush his boyfriend.
But when you say man friend, it sounds like when people say, oh, my girlfriend. Well, not my girlfriend. You know, my, like, friend who's a girl, or my female friend, when they're trying to differentiate that.
I don't do it on purpose. I just don't like calling him a boyfriend. It feels weird.
Yeah, and fine. Whatever term you want to use, I mean, that's, you get to choose that. But, I mean, culturally, when you say man friend, it sounds like you're saying we are not romantically involved. It just does, until you go,
sure.
he, and then we all go, ooh, she's getting some. Like,
yeah, I mean, sure.
It takes that layer
but
out.
I'm not. I'm a good Christian girl. Oh, wait, just kidding. I mean, we're obviously recording a podcast right now instead of being at church on Easter Sunday. Just saying.
Right. so, you know, there's that stuff. And the way I also... See, I've been talking to people about feminism a lot. I mean, when I go visit my son, right? So I'm with a bunch of 20-somethings, for one thing, and I've had these discussions with them. And they're like... They think feminists are like, ugh. They use it like... It has become a dirty word, and it doesn't need to be. And I've been reading this amazing book about the history of feminism, and goodness, they were using the term Amazon. I think maybe we should have kept that, but feminism is an important thing, but it's a dirty word because of this angry fight-picking bullshit. I mean, she goes on
bullshit. That's what people call.
But she goes specifically to this, like, oh, and I had this way to, like, change it and get approach people in a way about it and call them out, and they don't even get mad at me until I walk away, because I just say, oh, well, she has a job. I'm pretty sure she's a woman. Gleam. And then I smile because you get more flies with honey, and I walk away. That's not more flies with honey. That's some bitchy passive-aggressive bullshit right there. Sorry. That's like, I was
totally
my God,
agree.
No. Stay there and have the conversation like a fucking grown-up if you really want to change, if you really believe. And I think she does believe the language needs to be changed and women should not be referred to as girls. But have a calm, rational conversation about it. Don't get an attention-seeking viral video with a passive-aggressive bitch maneuver to tell people how to handle it. I was really off-put. My husband was nowhere near as off-put as I was by this video.
I think it's a good point that you make that, you know, are these things actually doing harm when they're trying to be helpful? Because, you know, you think about it, like you said, is this going to put people off? Is this the kind of activity that's going to make people less inclined to support the feminist movement? And I don't actually want a feminist movement. I want a fucking human emancipation movement. I want a movement where we can all be fucking equal on all fronts, regardless of your biological parts, emotional parts, you know, fucking all of it. Like, I just want there to be just none of this bullshit anymore. But I do think that, you know, like the term boy being like a racial term, yeah, like that was something that was said to black men, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that specifically has a context and a history of, you wouldn't use it as casually because it became, well, it didn't just become. The word means commoner.
Right.
So it evolved into a racial slur. So it didn't become as common usage as, you know, that girl over there, just referring to gender and being young.
I do usually like to use the term, like, I realize, like, I say chica or chickadee, or, like, I refer to my friends, I'll be like, all right, I'll talk to you later, chica. Like, that's so silly. Like, I guess that's, like, what I do. Like, I have to go into, like, a different language to be able to, like.
I've been using girl, like, just G and a bunch of R, like, just skipping the I, G-R-R-R-L, for, like, decades.
Yeah.
You know, it's like my girl.
Her podcast is called Geek Grills.
Like, and yeah, right. Like, all right, this grill thing. Like, oh my god, grills don't play video games. We just claim that shit.
Right, exactly. Because, like, I think that that's where it comes back down to kind of what I was saying about RuPaul earlier, and the part that I appreciate about him is kind of just embracing it and being like, okay, like, stop fucking taking yourself so seriously. And I do feel like this video in a lot of ways does take itself too seriously, and I think she does in her crusade against the word girl. I do, like I said, I really appreciate some of her other videos that she's done, especially the one about,
I appreciate her.
Like,
I mean,
the marriage. Oh, me too, absolutely.
It's
the marriage between science and spirituality, like, that's a real that's like I'm glad that there are people out there having that conversation, and someone like her, like, making a video about that, because, like, that's something I deal with all the time, where people are like, oh, so you're, like, pagan, but yet you're also, like science, so, like, how does that work? And I'm like, it totally works. But then I also have friends that are Christians, so.
Extreme things over the years that she's expressed as well, so, you know. This isn't new either. But I just hope... I hope someone... I don't know. Maybe I should write to her. Maybe she would hear and try to understand that making this big a deal of it and going so viral... I mean, yeah, it's really tempting you first watch it. It's like, yeah, yeah. Because it all makes sense. It's all very logical.
Yeah, and then you're like, wait a minute. Wait,
but
what?
Wait, like, damage. Wait, what? You want me to... You're doing what, bitch?
Because that's the, like, one thing that you do. You don't want to damage the community. You don't want to cause harm to what your actual point is. And like you said...
This is like those new feminists that got Wonder Woman taken off of the UN, right? Like, and,
yeah, like, what the fuck?
And then I get the reaction, and I was like, a friend of mine, he's, I don't know, in his 30s, and he saw the book I was reading, he picked it up, and he was like, oh, feminism, that's a terrible word, you shouldn't use that word. I'm like, what the fuck are you even talking about?
Call it? Like, what do we want to call it?
Like, well, you're, you know, perpetuating it being an ism, and, you know, why isn't it just, you know, equality? I'm like, well, it actually fucking is in the term, like, the way I think about feminism, it's just people that recognize that, you know, the feminine is an equal thing, but this idea that it's an ism and is necessary, you know, necessarily confrontational, and sometimes they think it's people that think women are superior, right?
Yeah.
This is pervasive. I mean, this guy was, I'd say, mid-30s, and he had that point of view just like the millennials I talk to do. So a lot of damage has been done to, like, no wonder we can't just get some simple protections passed when it's just a pushback against this, you know. The wrong kind of confrontation doesn't make for good, constructive conversation in progress.
Pick your battles! I feel like that's, like, my argument to, like, the planet these days. Pick your battles. Fight the fights that need to be fought. And, like, let's, like, not get caught up on the easy bullshit and focus on where the real work needs to be done, you know? Like, honestly, if you're watching a fucking entertainment show and somebody calls himself a fucking tranny or listening to a podcast, and he's literally been dressing up as a female impersonator for, like, 30 years, for Christ's sake, let's not fucking crucify him. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
I guess that's kind of... and you should go back and watch that.
Own.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. That's what
and
I'm
then,
trying
anyway,
to say.
You know, girls rule the world, so...
That's right.
Because I guess getting all aggravated about the video, and I'm just like, shit, tell Beyonce that. Because that song just started running through my head, and that song makes me feel so great.
I know.
And I mean, that's kind of an empowering, extreme thing, too, but at least it's fun.
I'm going to go listen to that song now.
Right? Ugh, love it. Okay, so what else? Folks, we'd love to hear from you.
Yes.
If we're ready to move on. Yeah, we'd love to hear your input. I know we've been fiery on this stuff today, but what language is important to you? I think we'll post something about Saga. We'll put in our links so that people know what we're talking about in that movement, if we can find a good one. And let us know what you think. You can email us at geekgrills@gmail.com. We always appreciate all of your feedback. What else?
Absolutely. Yeah, I know. Absolutely. Or give us a call. Leave us a message. Totally happy to hear your perspective. If you think that we're completely off base, tell me. Help me. Let's make this a conversation, yo. Hashtag Pepsi for cops. I'm sorry.
And I don't remember the number off the top of my head, but it will be in our outro. Listen to Loon's cute poem, and it's in there.
No, it's true.
Pepsi for cops.
I know. I'm
Miller United, hold my beer, and Spicer's like, Leroy Jenkins.
Oh my God. Seriously.
What a week.
This has been a crazy week, okay? It's been a crazy week. So... What are we looking forward to, huh? Yeah, I'm going
to
ask
myself. Yeah, what are we looking forward to? What are you looking forward to?
D&D today. Sweet. I want to play my gnome wizard. And also the bunny delivery will happen. So the bunny will go to the man friend's niece. So that'll be adorable. I can't wait to see her face when she actually sees the bunny because it's fucking cute. And then I'm actually going to go see Ghost in the Shell this week. I really need to see it, so I'm going to go see it.
Is that like the bunny that was in your cleavage last week?
Yes, that is the bunny that was in my cleavage last week.
Duh.
Dude, that bunny is, like, snuggly. So I think she's going to be really happy with the bunny. And then I did adopt the bunny's sister, which is all black. Well, half-sister. Or no, maybe it is a full sister, just born later. I don't know, but... a little bit older black bunny, and she's very cute, and so far I've been trying to crowdsource to get to name her, and so far the top recommendation is Bunny McRabbit Face, which I don't think I'll be going with, but it is humorous. so
aren't you gonna continue your literal naming conventions and just name it Cole or something?
Yeah, right. I'm gonna name it Blackie the Bunny. Like, that's not racist, right?
Right. I was like, maybe not so much with the black.
Yeah, so that's what I've got going on this week.
So I'm looking forward to ham.
Yeah.
Except I, gotta cook it myself, and it doesn't look like, despite all the noise in the background throughout the podcast, the kitchen's very well done, so... I get to go yell at my kids more and then make a ham dinner.
Oh, yay. Hooray.
Yeah, but I am looking forward to that. And then I have to try and resist driving to Raleigh to take some to Connor because he was going to come home for the weekend and he didn't, and I'm sad. And we have D&D tonight. So, and I really want to be doing D&D because we're doing this whole new adventure.
Yeah.
So, sup with the Patreon.
Yeah, so if you want to support us, again, we are wholly supported by Patreon. So we exist on the kindness of you strangers and not-so-strangers that listen and enjoy. So if you've gotten anything out of the show, go support us, patreon.com/grills. We do have some prizes and stuff, and you get a free game code the first time you sign up to be a patron, which is cool. So go check that out. Go do that. Support us. Also, thank you to all of our current patrons. You guys rock. Also, if you don't want to financially support us, you can always help us by doing an iTunes review. They're free, and we love them. They help us show up higher and, get out to more people. So do that.
And go to our Facebook and share that on your page. And go to our Twitter and retweet our stuff. And any little bit of help, we really appreciate. That's really awesome. Totally. If you cannot at this time invest in being our Patronus.
Yeah, I understand. It's expensive. Life is expensive right now. So I
get Yeah. But it feels good. I mean, you throw a buck at somebody who really, you really, really enjoy and support that art in our community. That's pretty great. I know it makes me feel good when I do it. So
totally.
I don't feel bad asking. Jen, how can people find you on the interwebs?
I am at on Twitter at The Jen Says, and I'm also streaming on twitch.tv/TheJenPlays, which hopefully there'll be more of that coming. My life is getting more settled now, so hopefully there'll be more of that. Hooray!
Hooray! I can be reached at 9of12 on Twitter. That's NINEOF12. And you can hear me on the Part-Time Gamers podcast. You can also see me making a fool of myself playing video games on their YouTube channel. And my own at twitch.tv/9of12 on occasion. Again, hopefully ramping up just like Jen. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
Good game.
If you enjoyed the show and have the quill skill to shriek speech, leave us a 5-star unique critique on iTunes or thrill us with the size of your handbill by spilling goodwill into our tills at patreon.com/grills. We can also be found windmilling around Facebook and YouTube at facebook.com/geekgrills and youtube.com/geekgrills, where we like to chill. Tweet your siren songs where the throngs belong on Twitter at geekgrills, where we're dressed to kill. For more info on the show, though, go to geekgrills.com, where you can find previous episodes, show notes, and current contest information. Send us your psalms and qualms to geekgrills@gmail.com or give us a ring at 508-474-5577, where we can hear your lovely voice sing the zing thing. Thanks for listening.